It's Power Hour LSU.
Off-season college football story. It's just now broken that Trinidad Chambliss will be granted a sixth year of eligibility. And it was a very long day for us as LSU fans because he very well could have been our quarterback this next year. I'm just going to be honest, though. This could have been disastrous for LSU. This could have been disastrous for Ole Miss. Relying on a judge to decide, hey, is Chambliss actually going to be the quarterback for my team this next year? And look, there was a lot of shenanigans, including the judge potentially being an Ole Miss fan and a pretty viral Joe Judge quote that we will talk about a little bit later. But this is the biggest story of this offseason, and it also does add a little extra gusto to this LSU and Lane Kiffin rivalry. So Trinidad signed a deal to come back for a sixth season. Depending on this ruling, he would have gotten $5 million. He will get this $5 million, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN. And basically for me, I truly do think Chambliss should have gotten this 6 year. But I am also of the idea that college football should be a 5 year and five sport. So would LSU have been better served if Chambliss was indeed our quarterback? Would Chambliss have actually decided to go to LSU? Would LSU have been patient with Chambliss if Chambliss really wanted to go to LSU? I don't know. I really don't know the answers to that question. But I'll be honest, I would have not wanted to be in a situation where it would have been Hassan Longstreet, Landon Clark, and maybe Trinidad Chambliss. I do prefer Sam Leavitt over Chambliss in that situation. It would not have been worth the stress to figure out if Chambliss would have gotten this final year. So we will see what happens, but man, it is crazy. The NCAA can appeal. So we don't know if this is over or not. But to me, the big thing is that this schedule for LSU got a lot harder. Because I will be honest, and I did not think this would have been my stance on Chambliss as a player. After watching him for a full day, and I mean really watching him, I thought he was better than what I initially thought. I really, really, really did. And I thought when I was going to go through a lot of the different things that Lane and Charlie did, I've shared plenty of times, I love the Lane Kiffin offense, but I didn't do film studies on Ole Miss every week like I did half the SEC, including LSU. So going play by play, there were a lot more, wow, Trinidad really did that type of plays than I would have thunk. I thought it would have been a lot more of, hey, Lane is drawing all this stuff up, Charlie's drawing all this stuff up, and Trinidad is just executing the offense. it was a good mixture of Chambliss going out there and making plays. And now he is going to get this last year of eligibility. That is at least the way it looks right now. LSU's schedule just got a lot harder. Now, we get to me, one very interesting thing. And I think this is where we're getting lost here, is that LSU also plays Tennessee later in the year. And Joey Aguilar is currently going through a very similar situation. Will Joey Aguilar get his final year of eligibility, which would also be a year six for him? So if you're an LSU fan watching this right now, which I think most of you are, there's going to be a lot of neutrals that come in because this is such a big, big, big story. Look, I'll be honest. Your schedule just got a lot harder. With Chambliss and potentially Aguilar, these are two big-time quarterbacks. Now, last year, of course, Chambliss was better than Aguilar, but it doesn't change the fact that they both were really good, and they both were better than any of us could have ever even imagined. So, I don't know. I don't know what's next when it comes to eligibility. And that's what really concerns me, because maybe, just maybe, the NCAA says, look, we're not only going to give everybody 5 years to play five, why don't we just give everybody 6 years to play six? Where is this going to end? So what I think will happen is we will move to a 5 years in five model. And by that, I mean there will no longer be any redshirting. You get five seasons to play five seasons. And the first collegiate season you play is your first year of eligibility. And what I think they're also going to do is have that be the case for all sports, where if you play 1 year of college football, you can't play those 5 years and then come back and play a different sport, which obviously doesn't apply to quite a few people, but it does apply to some. It would apply to Tre'Davious Green if it didn't work out in the NFL, which it will. So now we get into, would LSU have been better served if Trinidad Chambliss was their quarterback? Well, number one, I don't think we would have been wanting to wait until this hearing. Now, if you're a YouTuber like myself, it would have been great content. But I would not have wanted to be in that spot just as a fan, just waiting to see what a judge was going to do. And do I think the ruling today, which isn't over, by the way, there can still be an appeal, would and could there have been a world where we don't get that ruling? Let's just say all of those hearings happened in Mississippi. Does that judge give Trinidad that final year of eligibility? I would like to think no. whatever the case may be. I will also say, though, I don't think LSU is in that worse of a spot by having Sam Leavitt being their quarterback. In fact, they could be in a better spot. You know, I have been on other shows talking about Chambliss. I've been on other shows talking about Leavitt, my guy AP, and I had a discussion about it. He loves him some Sam Leavitt. You know, for me, I love me some Sam Leavitt as well. Would I prefer Trinidad? Probably so, because he knows the offense, and he almost won the Heisman Trophy last year. But I probably am perfectly fine with Sam Leavitt running it. He does give you juice in the run and in the pass game, not so much the design run game. And if Leavitt gets better at the gimme throws, watch out. It is going to be amazing. I do think Leavitt is a little bit more of a higher-end wow playmaker, but it's very close. I don't really think that's I think that's also one of Chambliss's strengths as well. You know, the biggest thing, obviously, with Leavitt is going to be his health. So we shall see what happens. Now, we say hi to Jordan Crowley. What's good, man? Crowley holding it down in the natural state. Good to see Tony as well in Kansas. And BT, we have Lisi in the chat as well. Pegasus, T-Bog, did great. Tell the kids to stop hopping from school to school. By the kids, do you mean tell the high school kids or the college kids? Because high school transfer portaling is a real thing right now. We say hi to Sibley as well. Last Thursday at this time, John Sibley and I were hanging out. I was literally at this time, asked John Sibley. I was giving him a big hug, meeting him for the first time in Austin, Texas. So there you go. We are one day away from LSU baseball. And, you know, we took last night off streaming. If you didn't hear, I had a huge college basketball assignment. So I went to go deal with that. And God bless America. I got to call some great games last night. But the night before, we had John Eads on. And, man, he broke down the entire LSU baseball roster. Not going to sit here and tell you that I am Hunt Palmer or Blake Ruffino when it comes to breaking down LSU baseball. What I would tell you is this will be the most relaxed I've ever been watching an LSU baseball team. And by that, the only thing that you should be worried about with the future of LSU baseball, even for some reason, if this team doesn't make the College World Series, is Jay Johnson going to the MLB. There's not a better job than LSU. I don't think there's going to be a situation where some other A-list job wants to double Jay Johnson's pay. I just don't think that that happens in this era. The only thing that you should be worried about is the MLB. And that's why you should want Tony Vitello to fail miserably with the Giants. And if he fails miserably, we don't have to worry about it. But if Vitello turns the Giants around in year one, Jay Johnson is probably the number one coach that MLB coaches would want. I could see him being a very good professional manager. I think even Jay Johnson's mold would be a little bit more liking of a professional athletics organization, because obviously Tony Vitello could be his own thing from time to time. And I'm not saying there aren't like big personality, colorful managers. There's plenty of those historically, obviously, who remembers the great Lou Piniella, Tommy Lasorda, and so on and so on. But, you know, for me, I do think Jay Johnson would be a big-time MLB manager, but I don't want that to happen. So I want Tony Vitello to suck, and I want every major league team to say we should never hire someone from the collegiate ranks. But, you know, I just want this team to be elite. I'm not going to be mad if they don't make the College World Series. Then we would definitely be Brian Kelly level spoiled. But, you know, I'm more so sinking my teeth into some of these individual stories. Chris Stanfield is one that we've not talked a whole lot about. You know, he's not going to be the guy. Curiel is going to be the biggest star in the outfield there, but you know, whether it's Monster Milam, Newt, Kaysen Evans, whoever you want to point to, this is going to be a fun season. So sit back, enjoy the ride, and LSU baseball will be here before you even know it. Let's go to Julie. She says, I think JJ likes the college game more than the MLB. He has said many times that he loves the relationships he has with the team. Yeah, I agree. Like, once again, I'm not saying that he's going to the MLB. I'm just saying that the only way he would ever leave LSU would be for an MLB job. And I think he'd be really good at it. And you never know when those opportunities are going to come around. But if he's just a college baseball lifer, I don't know, Jay. I also don't know how Jay would react if the opportunity were to fall in his lap. You know, what if it happens? What if the Washington Nationals say, hey, Dylan Cruz, get to coach a former player, or the Mariners with Cade Anderson, or obviously the Pirates with that guy that dates Livy Dunn. You never know. But I do think this is going to be a big year for LSU baseball. The people that really know this stuff better than me, they're saying, hey, it's going to be a great team. It's going to be a great team. This is arguably one of his most well-rounded rosters he's ever had. Sweet Lou Piniella. Who can remember Lou Piniella and the Tirades? Tommy Lasorda was one of my favorite managers growing up. Obviously, you know, I'm a Joe Torre guy, first and foremost, but that's not here nor there. You know, I with LSU baseball out of the way, this will be our last live stream before the big game between LSU and South Carolina. I'm debating on doing a post game after LSU South Carolina on Saturday night. The game is on ABC. You know, this is kind of interesting to me that LSU is electing to do this blackout where they're telling everyone to wear black. Probably wouldn't have done it versus South Carolina, considering that's their team colors. And, you know, I think we did a whiteout the last time we played a home game versus South Carolina. But whatever it is, it's going to look cool. And this is our opportunity. You know, South Carolina, of course, is beatable. They're still a top five team. They just blew the brakes off of Tennessee. Teams have really been struggling when it comes to playing on the road. And I do think LSU is going to find a way to get it done. And we're going to finally beat Dawn. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know any other way to break this down other than, can LSU survive in the paint versus South Carolina? They don't have Cardoso. They don't have the Aaliyah Bostons. I'll be honest, I've not really watched a whole lot of South Carolina this year. What I can tell you about LSU, though, is this team has played so much better than what they did early in the SEC season. You know, only three losses in SEC play, and they were all to good teams. So it's not as if LSU has just played bad. They've not had a game where they've just been wiped off the floor, other than, you know, the fourth quarter versus Texas where the wheels fell off. You know, I think for me, yeah, we're going to win. I do. I really do believe it. But, you know, it's still that mental hurdle. Can we finally beat South Carolina? Can we get over that hump? I don't know. Okay. Final thing about the Chambliss thing, before we get to more of your comments. Even though I've grown into being a bigger believer of Chambliss and his ability, and I have grown even deeper into the thought process that he should have been in New York City for the Heisman Trophy, and that he would have won the Heisman had he actually started the year for Ole Miss, despite all of those things, it is fascinating that he will be back for this final season and there won't be a single quarterback in the SEC with more on his shoulders than him. I thought at first it would be Arch Manning because of the name and all of that, but Arch Manning is throwing the football to Cam Coleman. He's not going to fail throwing the football to Cam Coleman. He's got his entire offensive brain trust back. He had huge upgrades at the running back position. Now, Chambliss, his running back is better than Hollywood Smothers, of course. Lacey is great. But even though Ole Miss will have a good offensive supporting cast this next season, goodness gracious, the pressure is all on him. You lose both of your offensive masterminds. You lose some other key offensive staffers there. And you lose Winnie Watkins. You lose, obviously, you know, Weiss is so big to this operation. And then you lose Lane. So for me, I as much as I think Chambliss is still going to be a great quarterback and he's still going to basically be the number one quarterback on every returning SEC QB list, either him or Arch or maybe Sellers, it is hard to see a world where he has the same season that he had this last year. Everybody's going to have film on him. Everybody. And even though the system is different, it's going to be fascinating, to say the least. So we shall see how Chambliss looks this next year. Even though I think he is still great, and even though he does the thing that we have not been able to stop, which is run at the quarterback position, we shall see if we're able to hold up versus a man who has overtaken a country's flag here in the States, Mr. Trinidad Chambliss. Let's go to Jordan. Has Full Wiley had an underwhelming year thus far? You know, I'm not going to go that far. I don't think many of us thought she was going to be, you know, no better than the number three option on this team. This was clearly Michaela, and this was clearly Flage's team. But, you know, I do think you would have liked to have seen a few extra things from Full Wiley this year in terms of consistency. But it's part of, you know, what you get. Now, of course, she's going to be in the crosshairs when it comes to South Carolina fans, and they can be ruthless when it comes to social media and women's basketball. But, you know, it could be better. Could be better. Chance says, all the college baseball coaches are college baseball lifers. Tony was a rare case and the first ever to go straight to Skipper. But that's the thing. What if it does work? What if it works? Rich people are in the copycat business. They just are. There's very few people that get rich doing something truly innovative. Everything is copying something else. Everything. I want it to be Stuart Scott. but... you know, I just can't quite get to, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this is, you know, a pipeline that could continue. Which is why I want Tony V to fail miserably. Because it's clear who the best coach is in the sport right now. M. Dangle gifted a membership. There you go. Yeah, Chance, this was actually on the prep sheet for a little bit later, the Lee Mallett situation. All right, so I like Scott Ballard a lot. I've never met him before. Hopefully I'll meet him soon. But Scott was big. You know, he was a board of supervisors, chair, and LSU now has Lee Mallett in Scott Ballard's position. All right, so basically, LSU has quite a few moving parts when it comes to its athletics administration. But this is how the chain of command normally works. So you have your governor and Governor Landry. But the athletic director is Virge Ausberry. Virge Ausberry is hired by the Board of Supervisors. And LSU had five people as a part of the search committee for a new coach. And the head of that search committee was Virge. But in truth, Virge was a candidate as well. So Scott Ballard was a big part. All right. So still, a lot of it was Governor Landry. There's so much that goes into who gets what. So Lee Mallett was once an LSU guy, and him and Will Wade were close, to my understanding. And Lee Mallett is now back at LSU. So basically, McNeese, where Wade Roos was, hired Will Wade. Governor Landry and a lot of people at LSU love them some Will Wade. We all love Will Wade, no matter what happens. He gave us a lot of success in basketball. We didn't get to anything prominent, but a lot of that was, you know, the investigation. So now that Mallett is back at a powerful position, can we get Will Wade back to LSU? Now, I do want to share something that we shared not too long ago. You can go back and listen to the live stream. I referenced someone who is way up on the totem pole when it comes to LSU basketball. And basically, a message was relayed to Little Me. I just do an LSU YouTube channel, and I've done it for a while now, that that this could happen, that Will Wade can happen. But I'm not an insider. Don't run it. Don't say, yeah, I mean, you can. I don't care at this point. I'm not reporting that this is going to happen. But come on, Will Wade is not a fit at NC State. And NC State has good basketball history. They just made a Final Four not too long ago. One of the more magical runs. Jim Valvano. So on and so on. But Will Wade belongs at LSU. Now, could it happen? Well, Woodward is out the door. That would have been the biggest hurdle. I don't know. I don't want to say anything else. Oh, man. This is going to be great. This is going to be so great. Ain't nothing like it. Let me see. So, yeah. Come on, Lee. Go get us a basketball coach. One final thing before we get to this break. You know, I think if you're an LSU fan, you should want more out of your basketball program. I don't think any one of us would disagree with that. What I would also say, though, is as far as the infrastructure of basketball, one thing that is very important is this arena. All right, so I went to the Moody Center last week with Sibley, and I was blown away. That was a ridiculously nice facility. It is beautiful. And the reason why that facility is so big is that they have suites. So LSU and the PMAC does not have suites. And basically, you guys know what suites are, right? It's a private box. And these suites generate a lot of money. So this has been a big discussion in college athletics. There have been plenty of teams that have, you know, cut out 8,000 to 10,000 actual normal bleacher seats to make more room for suites. And we've seen this in basketball. We've seen it in baseball. We've seen it in football. So by doing that, they're generating more money while cutting out the common fan. PMAC doesn't have suites. It is so important to get a new arena because, yes, the arena is very expensive, but we're lagging behind when it comes to the PMAC. Now, of course, there's logistics involved with this. Do you really want the arena that far off campus and all of that? And Texas's Moody Center is right next to the football stadium, and that makes it more convenient. You know, the same thing with some of these other basketball arenas, like at Arkansas and so on. But, you know, for me, I want a new arena. I do. And it's because of those suites. You know, I think we're missing out on some revenue. And I think when we have a coach as legendary as Kim Mulkey, she deserves the best. But then again, if you're going to ask me, hey, Carter, would you want that arena, or would you want the funds for that arena to fund our rosters? Well, I think you guys know my answer to that. All right. So coming up a little bit later in the show, one pretty big football ruling just came in. And before we go to this break, we'll go ahead and get to Sibley's Super Chat. Thank you so much, Sibley. What are these statistics on college or pro quarterbacks having two great years in a row? I think that will be hard for Chambliss to have a year like he had last year at Ole Miss. Do you believe in a sophomore slump? Yeah, so normally college quarterbacks do have better year twos as full-time starters than they do as year ones. It's just true. Now, sometimes there is regression. And unfortunately for us, we had that with Garrett Nussmeier. There are a lot more factors at play, as many of you know. But for the most part, we normally do see the quarterbacks that have good seasons end up having better seasons the next year. But to Sibley's point, and we touched on this a minute ago, Chambliss doesn't have his brain trust anymore. He's got brand new coordinators. This offense gets weird if Lacey gets hurt. And look, the pressure is going to be so much more on Chambliss's shoulders because he is getting a huge pay raise. He got $300K last year. Now he's getting $5 million. And this was so long and drawn out. And he's now the face of the program, really. So the next thing is, obviously, is Chambliss going to get a schedule break next year? Not really. I mean, this one is Ole Miss did not get a great draw. Now, I will say they do start their season with one of these softer schedules, and they also end the season with the softest schedule of any team in this conference, as they have Wofford and Mississippi State to end, Louisville, which could take a step back on a neutral, and Charlotte in week one and week two. But damn, did they get hosed with this SEC schedule. I can't really tell you who the worst team is going to be on Ole Miss's SEC schedule. I just don't know who the worst team is. But I can make a case that Ole Miss is playing the three best teams heading into next year: Georgia, Texas, and LSU. Now, the good news is you get two of those games at home. But damn, you also have to play Brent Venables. You also have to play Auburn. I think Auburn's going to be fine next year. You still got to play Missouri. You're at Vanderbilt. I think when your schedule is this brutal in the middle, having an early bye week isn't great. So, man, I'm telling you right now, if I'm looking at Ole Miss's schedule and I'm a Rebels fan, thank God I'm not, I am very fortunate if I get to 7-5. Very fortunate. I don't see that, though. I really, really, really don't. And Carl the Cat got the gifted membership. Congratulations, Carl the Cat. All right, coming up next, we'll get to everyone's favorite segment in all of LSU YouTube. It's P
VHL is gold.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
Alrighty, what did Lane Kiffin tweet today? Start with Trinidad. I really do mean it. I do think Lane is happy Trinidad had this verdict go in his favor. I think Lane has a heart. I do. I also think Lane's a competitor. No excuses. We're going to beat Ole Miss with their best foot forward. I'm also kind of fascinated to see how Chambliss does next year. But like I said, this helps out the Joey Aguilar situation. And then we get to this. All right. I want you to take a look. It is rare for something to have 4.9 million views when it comes to college football, and it's not a highlight. I want you to listen to this, and I saved it for this juncture because it's not really LSU related. Here is Joe Judge, who is the former New York Giants coach, who has been at Ole Miss as an offensive assistant. Just listen.
But we would have to educate. This is always a tough conversation to have, and it's not even a popular thing. This is the truth. We would have to educate significant others who may have been pregnant during the season or going to have a baby during the season. And you'd have to educate them on, you have this baby in the middle of the season. That father has to play good football, right? It's a day-by-day production business. He has to be ready to perform and go out there and play. And what I say that is, you need to let him sleep. He needs to be in another room. Attached, you have to explain to the mother, like, hey, listen, he ain't waking up for midnight feedings. After the season, he's full metal jacket. You do whatever you want with him. And he can change every diaper. But in the season, he's got to have a different priority. Now,
Ole Miss coach Joe Judge, I'll translate it for you, tells pregnant partners of players during the season that the father has to play good football. He needs to be in another room, detached. He ain't waking up for midnight feedings. And Lane Kiffin's reaction was, Joe, hand on forehead. All right. Let's talk about it. I am not a father yet. So I am not as well qualified to talk about this if you are indeed a dad. But you're telling me out there that there's people that work like big, big, big important jobs, firefighters, EMTs, school principals. I could argue those jobs are more important. Police officers. They need sleep too, huh? Also, as someone who has interviewed female athletes in the past, imagine if you're a female athlete listening to that. Kind of strange, huh? Because obviously, this is always something that should be discussed. There's so many female athletes out there who want to become mothers, want to do the single most important thing you can do as a person, which is reproduce. And they can't do it. While males, we can do it while also maintaining athletic excellence. So I can't imagine being a female athlete listening to that. And come on, you're a dad. It would be one thing if you were not attending practice at all, while also because you're changing diapers and being a dad and all of that. But come on, you can't just put all of that on the mom. Now, if you're the big time breadwinner and the mom says, I got it, I want you to get good rest, and you have that understood between the two of you, sure, go for it. Because Joe Judge is indeed right. For athletic excellence, you need to get better sleep. You know, I worked out a little bit earlier than normal. I woke up at 4:30. Wasn't my best workout. And didn't get a whole lot of sleep. I understand that. But, you know, I'm just not saying that aloud. I will say, though, there's many in the football world that do agree that that should be done. But it just does not come off well. Oh, man. I know, exactly, Chance. It's so crazy. It's nuts that he even said that. Because I didn't see what was said before that led Joe Judge to go down that route. Alexander, we'll talk about Trinidad's draft stock here in just a second. Because I hear your point, but Arch Manning would have probably gone in the top 10 picks this year. His draft stock, can it really go that much higher as well? I think most would say he should probably come back. Five-star two-way athlete, honor, or I don't know how to say the first name. Falave Johnson includes LSU in his final six schools. Good stuff. Lee Mallett being named the new chair of the LSU Board of Supervisors. I look forward to working together. And this is what we discussed a little bit earlier. I was going to save it for, obviously, the Lane Kiffin tweet segment. So, really good stuff. LSU has the nation's four best wide receivers. Anderson Brown, Hilton, and Thomas invited to the NFL Combine. Overall, LSU football has 11 players invited, which ranks third nationally behind only Texas A&M and Alabama. Crazy. LSU's Combine invites did go out. Shout out to friend of the show, Jack Pyburn, getting one. Garrett Nussmeyer's going. Really good stuff. LSU is set to host four elite women's basketball recruits this weekend for its matchup against number 6 South Carolina. Kalina Smith, Caroline Bradley, Zaniah Johnson, and KJ Akree. Lane courtside for the Pels. I'll be attending a Pelicans game. Not this weekend, but the next with my old man. Not the more I love than going to the NBA to watch with my dad. Let's get to this clip right here. Winston Watkins. On the deep post. Kid's got wheels, and Lane Kiffin.
Tackles, and he's going to help us in this manner. And
he's got the pass.
All of those things. He could have shut it down. Instead, he goes to bat and defends the player. Says that, no. What TJ Dottery showed me by doing the uncomfortable of getting in the portal and coming here to be a part of this, even though he knew what all was going to happen, what was going to come out, what was going to be said, the fact that he went up, addressed, and acknowledged it in the press conference and went to bat defending the player, that is why you go play for Lane Kiffin.
Well said, Tingle. On one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. This power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. Have a day, everyone. Love you all. Says Lane Kiffin. Lane giving a Gordon shout out. This guy is everywhere. Lane Kiffin tweeting about sobriety. Love seeing that. Every running back ever in a Lane Kiffin offense, Harlan Berry is about to make a statement this year. And as you can see, highlighted are all the 1,000-yard running backs and two Heisman Trophy winners. How about that? I love seeing Curtis McNeil's name on there. How about that? Rat Poison, John Summerall. And there you go. That is what Lane Kiffin tweeted today. Let's get to as many of your comments as we can. LSU had more combine invites in Indiana, but we still have to hear this dumb debate when 2019 LSU has 16 invites, not including Sting, Marshall, or Chase. True. True, true, true. That is not so. 16. Yeah, you know, there was a few combine snubs in the SEC. I was shocked that Ethan Burke didn't get an invite, the Texas defensive end. I love me some Ethan Burke. 6'6", lacrosse background. I've always thought he's underrated. Scheme versatile. But, man, should be a big combine for some LSU Tigers. It also goes to show you just how bad things were when LSU has four wide receivers go to the combine, and it was still the worst passing attack in LSU history. Think about that. Clip it. Share it with your friends. LSU had four wide receivers, more than any other team, invited to the combine. Crazy. Crazy. Let's go to Keith. Yeah, Keith, do we have to talk about this? Do we really have to do this? Am I the only person who cried watching the Arkansas game the other night? Like slow tears? Matt McMahon's not good. It's really bad. It's really, really, really bad. You know, I do think, as far as Matt is concerned, I don't know where things went wrong, but it was flawed logic to begin with when the main thing that people are pointing to with McMahon was that he won at Murray State with Ja Morant. Like, that's not impressive. Yeah, you won at a lower level with an NBA lottery pick selected number two overall. And he was really good in the NBA before, you know. Ole Miss is paying Trinidad $5 million. Yeah. So why didn't Chambliss just jump to the NFL? Well, you can't always just look at draft stock, right? Dante Moore was the consensus number two pick in every single mock draft. He decided to play another year of collegiate ball. And the reason is twofold. You get more years or more snaps of college football. You're still going to get paid at the collegiate level. And, of course, you're for sure going to play in a far better game environment. Why would I make that jump when I could go to the Jets? You know, it's one of those things where you look at some of these other quarterbacks who decided to make a similar move. How far did their draft stock really fall? You know, Jake Locker made a similar move, and he still, I believe, got selected 10th overall. He didn't have as good a season. Andrew Luck made a similar move, and he still went number one overall. So Chambliss is looking at this as like, hey, if I'm still good enough, I'll get selected high enough, and I'm getting $5 million. And on top of that, if I win like I did last year with the Ole Miss, I could get my number retired. I could become an even bigger legend than I am. And I do think he knows this game better than most. He probably feels he needs another year of college ball. But the other side of that is, yeah, you made $5 million, but what if you were the second quarterback overall taken? I think you get a signing bonus of something around there. And you don't know if you're going to be a top 10 pick. You know, I would think most would say Arch is going to get drafted ahead of him this next year. So, you know, you wouldn't have been the number one guy this year. I think many would take Dante Moore over Chambliss in this next cycle as well. And then you just go down the line. And what if you fall off just completely? Another thing about Chambliss going to the NFL is Ole Miss's schedule is just so tough. It is really, 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 really hard. Let's go to Keith. I'm in Kansas City. And people were pulling me over to the side in the gym and asking, how did it get this bad in the NIL era? I know we will never be Kansas, but we should be better. Oh, with LSU basketball. All right. This will be my final topic. Once again, if you want to keep it going in the next 5 to 10 super chat, and we'll go a little bit longer. Unspoken prayer request. I don't like to do this too much, but please pray. I've had one of my friends have a medical scare today. That is something you guys like to do. But you look at what is changing in college athletics. The revenue share cap is going up. So it's at $20 million. Ross Dellinger reports it's going to go up to $21.5 million. And Texas Tech had a pretty interesting situation where they basically let it be known that they're shifting even more money in the direction of football. And what I found to be very interesting this year is that these schools, if you FOIA them, you can get their revenues and expenses and the profit margin between the two of them. So what is an FOIA? It is a Freedom of Information Act, where if you are a state school, you are by law, per an FOIA, you've got to get over, you got to hand over your expense report. At least that's my understanding of it. So at LSU, Dellinger did this when he was a beat reporter. But we have seen so many FOIAs. I mean, this is probably the year where I've seen the most FOIAs from reporters and them sharing expense reports from sport to sport, which tells me that these schools want this information out. At least that's my read on it. And I could be totally wrong. But either way, basically, what every FOIA shows is that football is insanely popular. And it is by far the biggest revenue and profit generating sport, and it's not even close. On average, for a big Power Four program, football is normally at a profit of anywhere from 25 to 40 million. Men's basketball is normally at a profit, sometimes at a loss, just depending on your expenses, at about 5 or so million. And occasionally you'll have a baseball or something like that be in the black. But every other sport is in the red. And consistently, women's basketball loses so much more money than all of the other sports. It is not even close. Oftentimes at a profit negative of anywhere from 3 million to 5, and sometimes I think I've seen 7 million in losses before. And basically what Texas Tech is saying is, why in the sport that can truly move the needle for us, why are we not putting more of our rev share into these other sports? And remember, I give Texas Tech a lot of credit because they invested heavily into a pitcher for softball. She was the best pitcher. She was with Stanford. She knocked LSU out of the tournament a few years ago. And she was one mistake away from actually winning the World Series for them last year. But the sport still lost. So, you know, I think it's Candy. Now, what many would say as far as these FOIAs and these expense reports, what many would say is, hey, you can't just look at the dollars and cents. You also got to look at the brand equity. You got to look at, hey, we might be losing money, but Flajay Johnson, even though she's in a sport that loses money, she's actually made money for LSU because she's a superstar. It means something that she's on the ESPYs. It means something that Mikayla Williams is a McDonald's All-American and great in every interview. And Phil Wiley has these crazy behind-the-back passes, and she's on SportsCenter a bunch doing that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, there's value in that. Just because something loses something on an expense report doesn't mean it's just a total negative loss. And then also, we don't know the numbers, right? If I were an athletics department, and by the numbers, I mean the true numbers, I don't want to show that I'm making more profit than I'm actually making. All right. So we'll see. Let's go to Jay Sam. But basically, before we continue, the rev share is going up for football. Obviously, we're probably over the 20 million number in terms of money invested into this next year's roster, but we'll see. Let's go to Chance. LSU softball got shut out today by Nebraska. Not worried about it. Betterina, I'm going down with the ship. I will ride this until I can't ride it anymore. Beth, I'm with you. We're going to get it done this year. We're going back to the World Series. I will be there in Oklahoma City.
Let's see. Let's go to Kets. No, I didn't see this. Lane and Jay finally going to sit down together. I gotta see this. I don't know. Send me the link. I've got to see this. Huh? Oh man. Nebraska's a good team, says Sibley. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. The bottom line is we started the season, what, like 23-0? You know, I don't think anybody cares about Beth until it's the postseason. Like, that's the weirdest thing about this year. And that's basically how I'm going to look at it. But it is important that we do host a regional. Now, we'll always do this at the end of these streams. I want every single one of you to look at me right now. Look at me. This will be the single most important thing that you will take away from this live stream. I understand that a lot of you don't agree with the 8-9 game SEC debate. And I get that. I know a lot of you don't agree with the playoff potentially expanding from 12 to 16. But I'm telling you right now, be so very lucky that the thing you love the most is not the NBA. Oh. It is a toxic product right now. Toxic. And I'm not just saying that because my Pelicans are bad. I love the NBA. I love it so much. It's my dad's favorite thing. I'm going to a Pelicans game with him this a week from now. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know how they're going to fix what they have going on with these teams tanking before the All-Star break, All-Star break being made a joke. Do the players care? Are they getting too much guaranteed money where, you know, none of this means anything? I don't know. I don't know what it is. But, you know, load management, whatever. I'm always going to love the NBA. I grew up, that was my favorite sport growing up. LSU football is my favorite thing, but you know, I grew up watching Jordan and Vince Carter, Allen Iverson, the whole shebang. But the thing that does excite me is that college basketball has never been stronger. It has never, ever, 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 ever been stronger. I love the fact that, you know, these schools can decide, hey, we could put more money into college basketball with the NIL, could keep players around. Of course, the portal really hurts the smaller schools on college basketball like it does in football, but college basketball is ridiculously good this year. Like astonishingly a great product. And it's not just the NBA guys, the Acuffs and the Petersons and all of that. Hell, I watched Kansas play Arizona, and they didn't have the Peterson, Patterson, whatever, the guy that they're comparing to Kobe. He didn't even play. Game was still great. College basketball is in a really good spot. Now, they better not expand the tournament. But, man, it has been a great year for college hoops. But I can't get over, like, if I was just an NBA content creator or just an NBA guy, whew, It is brutal. It is brutal what they're going through right now. Can't wait for 7-5 Texas to get in as an 8 seed. Yeah, it's horrible. And you got a good team. You got a good team with a good coach and like an all-time top 20 player. And you still don't want to watch. It's rancid. And I will always keep going back to this. When you watch a show, or when you watch a piece of content, or when you watch a sport, and the main thing about the sport is not the games, or the main thing about the show isn't the content and the host talking or whatever, you're going to be in a bad spot. You're going to be in a bad spot. Like, if my show, to gain more views, I just pour chocolate sauce on my head and I have people shock watching, it's not good for the channel. People will eventually get tired of it. Literally right now, if I were to go get a Hershey's bottle of chocolate and just consistently pour it on my head, my views would go up. You guys would share, be like, holy look at this guy. He's just pouring chocolate on his head. And it would get a lot of views, but I couldn't keep doing that, right? It's what the NBA is going through right now. You can't just keep selling drama. Oh, look, the coolest thing that's happened, there was two big brawls recently. Oh, so now you're hockey. You're hockey. It's insane to me. Absolutely insane. And I would still feel this way if the Pelicans, which is my favorite American sports professional franchise, I would still feel this way if the Pelicans were good. Rock Chalk. Oh, you're a Kansas guy? You're a Danny Manning guy. Kansas Jayhawks. You got to be kidding me. Seattle and Las Vegas are the two teams most likely to get NBA expansion. That's good. That's really good. Seattle deserves an NBA team. I know I just crapped all over them. But it goes back to something I was discussing recently. A friend of mine who coaches, and ironically, this friend is good friends with an LSU legend. So I just became friends with the guy who coaches college basketball. And he saw that I was wearing a Saints shirt, and he said, hey, what do you think of Sean Payton? And I said, hey, Sean Payton is awesome. Sean Payton is arguably the most talented coach to ever coach football in the state of Louisiana. I said it. I'm kidding. It's Nick 1, Sean 2. But Sean's still pretty good. If Sean had won the Super Bowl this year with the Broncos, at least that's a convo. But he asked me about Sean because he's a Broncos fan. And I said, I think Sean's that good. He is that guy. They say, you know what? I don't like Sean because he could be a bit of a jerk. He can be a jerk with the media. He could be a jerk with players, and he's really hard on his players and all of that. Good. You know, I don't think it's good for coaches to be too nice. I don't think it's good for people in big leadership positions to be too nice. You've got to have some a-hole in you. You got to have some jerk in you. And I think that's what happened with the NBA. You think David Stern would have let a lot of this stuff happen? No. Uh-uh. Once you get in a position of power, you got to have a little of that in you. Now, you can't just be an all-out asshole. But, you know, if you don't have that gene, you're probably not going to be a good leader. Yeah, send it to me. I'm Power Hour LSU on all social medias and powerhourlsu@gmail.com. How do you have at least 5 different subscriptions to legally watch NBA games? That's brutal. It's brutal. It should be, if you have League Pass, you should be able to watch every single game. I think that would be fair. It is interesting, though. Like, I don't know if I want college football seasons to be decided in courtrooms, though. I don't think the NCAA wants this either. 5-5. I just sent it on Instagram. I got to see this photo before we go.
Here for the job of being the football coach. So, and being in those shoes, like I said,
Good.
The job of being the football coach. So, and being in those shoes, like I said, I understand how that goes. And actually, I got a message from him not that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, that just said, "Hey, Jarrett Lane, want to come over and see you. Finally got this team put together." And it was just so matter of fact. Like, I was like, "Yeah, you did." So I'm looking forward to getting together with him. He's text.
I thought you were saying that there was a photo. I would have broke the internet by now. Well, it would have broke my internet. Yeah, that's the content I want to see. Some of you like to play Farmville. Some of you like to go play Madden. Some of you like to go watch Abuela Danger. For me, though, I need a Jay Johnson Lane Kiffin photo. You see them hanging out. Bros being bros. That's what I need. That's good. That was Tiger Rag, by the way. Big thanks in Dingle and Sibley. Every Monday, we release a new Patreon and member breakdown, an extra bit of film study, review, all that good stuff. And for our patrons, you get access to our Discord service. I think our membership count actually went up. I just didn't have time to change the graphic today. So there you go. Don't forget, if you want to reach out to me, you can always follow me at Power Hour LSU on all the different services. But yeah, it's still cool that they're chatting it up. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing, some chicken parm. My dad hooked it up. Let's go. Huh?